Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, we're here live tonight. All right, good to be here. Wow, I am alive and well, thank you. All is well, doing good. So we're going to be praying for you tonight, so get ready for that, all right? Hopefully everybody's doing good. So let's pray for wisdom and revelation from God. Right, that's what we need. We need wisdom and revelation from the Father. No doubt about it. All right. Okay, here we go. Okay, something's going on. All right, that's working. Trying to get the internet working out here. Cool. All right, we're going to be praying over everybody tonight, as you know. So get ready for that. We're going to be ministering to every person tonight without very little talk, unless something emergency comes up. So if you need, a prophetic word tonight, a word for the Lord, just be patient. We'll be there with you. Okay. All right. I'm trying to get on here and make sure everything is good. We're rocking and rolling. All right. Thank you for being with us tonight. We are believing God for miracles, signs, and wonders in the miracle, sign, and wonder realm. And that is prophetically. We've seen some of that go on. We're seeing signs and wonders go on in different areas of the prophetic. It just happens in different ways. You never know when a word's going to come to pass. You never know when you're going to break through. We've just recently, we've been going through a lot of different things, a lot of different battles and things. Things have been really good, really. But we're, working toward a studio. And, with this thing that's gone on with the last little bit with Daystar and some things going on about that, I'm going to talk about that soon, about how that, God is opening up some arenas for us to step into. So be praying about that. And, yeah. Sometimes I'm just so thankful I didn't make any moves before I made, before the Lord moved, because sometimes you get anxious, right? You get kind of ready to do something, ready to go. And the Lord just keeps pulling the reins on you. You know what I'm talking about, right? Keeps pulling the reins on you like, whoa, now slow down a little bit here, Chandler. Slow down, son. We got some patience. I'm a working. And so when you see things develop the way we have, just from y'all's end, knowing what goes on from y'all's end, from your end, and seeing the prophetic work and how that God is dealing with situations and raising up a whole new priesthood, what I'm calling a whole new priesthood. He's raised up a whole new priesthood, and that's basically in a nutshell what's happening. We're going to be ordaining priests, preachers, ministers, whatever you call them. I say priest because I've never been a Catholic. Don't have any plans of being a Catholic. But, priest, the priesthood, when you talk about the new priesthood in the Bible, we're kings and priests. So I kind of like the word priest in a sense. So it's pretty cool. But we're going to be ordaining them, teaching them how not to merchandise, number one, how to preach Jesus for free and believe God to, when you do things God's way, God will supply your needs. And that's the example that we've done our best to be for everyone here. And we're about to see an amazing move of God in the financial arena. We're preparing for it, getting ready for it. PGN reward system, many of you know that we've talked about it, sent you text on or emails. about that. You know, we're heading toward all that. It's just everything kind of culminating together, and we're seeing some amazing things that God has been speaking, dealing with the merchandising realm. Of course, you know, I know many of you have gotten tired of hearing me talk about it, probably, as well as I have felt like, when are we going to ever change the subject, you know? But when the Lord has a prophet doing something, it's different than a teacher, it's different than an apostle, I guess. It's different than you know, just like Jeremiah and other prophets, Isaiah, you know, Jeremiah kept having to speak the same thing different ways because people weren't hearing it. And so sometimes it's difficult for people to hear something that when they've been ingrained in something for years and years and years, it takes a little bit. You have to be patient. God is very patient. And he's saying, just give people time, plant the seed, water it, and I'll bring along some signs and wonders along the way, Randy, that will confirm what I'm having you say, what I'm having you do. I'm going to confirm that with signs and wonders in many different realms, and that my word's going to come to pass because I'm with you. You know, you don't have to fear evil. Evil fights you. Evil comes against you. But we have seen some major opposition in ways that I've never even talked about. Some very, you know, the wiles of the devil, and it's really amazing, truly amazing. I have to give it to some of these people that have money, and you know, some of the schemes they come up with, some of the stuff they come up with is pretty cool. Actually, it's actually when I'm able to talk about it sometime, and I will. Believe me, I want to. Oh boy, do I want to! But when the time is right, we're going to be talking about you know, some specifics, and yeah. So it's going to be interesting. The next few months, the next few years are going to be very, very, exceedingly very interesting, and we're going to watch the word of the Lord work in behalf of God's people in setting up a new priesthood. You know, kings and priests. We are kings and priests, and you know, we are a kingdom of priests. Actually, is what it actually says. It renders in the scripture as a kingdom of priests. So we're preaching the kingdom of God now. You know, for now, waiting for Jesus to come back, longing for that. If we die, we go to heaven now and be with Him. And then when He comes back, He dumps all of everything that's in heaven. He kind of dumps it out on the earth. You know, all the people, because they come with Him. The saints come with Him, right? And when the saints come marching down from glory to the earth, it's going to be amazing. You're going to get to see people that if they went to heaven, you're going to get to see them again. Isn't that cool? Think about that. Yeah, on the second coming, everybody, the storage tank, what I call the storage tank. I don't know why. I've never insulted God by calling heaven a storage tank. It's kind of, he's in my spirit. It's like, okay, I understand. It's the greatest storage tank that's ever been. I'm going like, yeah, that's for sure. Because when you think about it, y'all, it's the greatest storage tank. It's the streets are of gold. One of these days, the heavenly Jerusalem is going to come to the earth, right? And so it's going to be really cool. But everything's about thy kingdom come, thy will be done. You know, so we're trying to get everybody to heaven, which is good. You know, we need to do that for sure. But to get born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, and you know, if you die, if you were to die right now, like Marcus Lamb, you know, he's going to come back with Jesus. It'd be cool. We'll say, hey, Marcus, hey, what did Jesus talk to you about the merchandising? I bet he kind of talked to you about that a little bit, didn't he? Yeah, but he still loves you. I know you still got a lot of rewards waiting for you there, and yeah, but you know, he's going to dump Marcus Lamb and all the other people that you know. His network, you know, help get saved and all that. They're going to be coming back to the earth. The saints are coming with him. He's going to dump them out on the earth. And like, so, you know, hey, you're going to see people here on the earth, not just going to heaven and seeing them. It's going to be cool, man, if that happens before Christ comes. But just think about this. They're going to come on the earth. You're going to get to see them on the earth again. Your dead husband, your dead wife, your dead grandmother, and aunt and uncle and sister and brother and, you know, children that were aborted, all that stuff. I mean, they're going to be coming down to the earth, man. The earth is going to be, just think about that. The earth is going to be, you know, loaded up with people. My gosh, I never thought about that before. I wonder how many millions are into heaven. And when Jesus comes back, you know, it says the saints come back with him. And then we rule and reign with him on the earth for 1,000 years. I mean, that's wow. Okay, we don't want to stop and ponder on that one. For sure, it's going to be pretty cool. But, you know, I mean, Grandma will be coming to your new house you got from Jesus. You know, like, Grandma, this is my millennium house. How do you like it? She's going to go, I love it. Kind of reminds me of heaven a little bit. You're all going to get happy and, you know, eat some marriage supper of the land food and all that and whatever else you got cooking and have a good time. It's going to be great. So, anyway, so I don't even know where I'm going with all this tonight. I'm just taking off. But this is really cool. And so we have a lot to look forward to. We have a lot to look forward to. So if you're doing what God's wanting you to do here on the earth right now and he comes back, get ready, friend, because yeah, Sharon says she's going to see her son again. You know, okay. Yeah, I mean, seriously, if you're alive when Christ comes back, and unless you're, of course, I think all our PGN people are saved, of course, and a bunch of other people are saved all over the earth, all their loved ones, they're going to come back to the earth, man. They're coming back to the. You got to think about this, the Bible way. Okay, let's transition a little bit. What do you say? We're gonna be seeing. We're gonna see them on the earth. Yeehaw! Wow, that's gonna be awesome. My God, I'm just really thinking about this right now. This is really awesome. I love the thought process. I mean, I'm ready tonight, y'all. Are you ready for this? This is cool. Yeah, he's gonna dump them out. The Bible says, you know, when he comes back, he's gonna. They're going to be dumped out. Not dumped out is not a very good word, but it's the word I seem to be stuck on right now. I don't know. Like, okay, let's dump them out. On the earth. There you go. One more. No, there's okay. A few more million. Oh, there's a few million. Drop them off the earth. Yep, there they go. Where are they going to live? Well, they're going to live in the earth somehow, some way, somewhere. You know, we got to have houses for them. We got to have places for them, right? You got to think about all that. So who's going to prepare the way for that? If we're truly going to be the generation that's going to be preaching Jesus when he comes back, and as we walk through the tribulation, the great tribulation, and the glory of God's all over us, we're watching the two witnesses whoop up, you know, on the Antichrist and watching all that cool stuff, and God delivers the church from merchandising, we should have a pretty holy church by then. I think the church should be really holy. You know, can I just be really honest with you? I think that's one reason that God dealt a big blow to merchandising, to the head merchandiser of a television network, whom we all dearly love, and we love Marcus Lamp, right? But, you know, they get hung up in those things, and so, you know, we're the new generation that's going to do a new thing, and, you know, so, hey, praise God, that's just the way it is. We'll just talk about it right up front. And so, you know, we're going to, you know, see a generation that doesn't know merchandising. It's not going to be selling Jesus. Can you imagine that? God actually supplying the needs for his work, his kingdom, instead of the kingdoms of men, the things that men try to do, if they can work up enough and sell enough goods, they can buy anything they want, right? They can just wheel and deal. It's going to be awesome that's all going to be over with. It's all going to end because Jesus, he's got the whip through a network, the whipping network. Get the whip out. Yeah, literally got the whip out. And driving out the money changers so that we can turn the Father's glorious temple in the earth into a place that is like heaven, right, where Jesus is given away. And for God so loved the world that he gave, right, instead of mixing it in with selling and buying Jesus and God, it's about giving that God so loved the world that through the husbandry ministry, he is giving his son away for free. Could you imagine that, what that's going to be like? Some of you can't imagine it because you've been in it so long, just like I have. I've been in that stuff for a long time. So God dealt a heavy blow to the head one of the head merchandisers of a because he's the head of the network, right? Daystar Network dealt a heavy blow to it. Dealt a heavy blow to some other things, and you know, we're going to be, you know, even Marcus is going to be thankful that, you know, God let him move on, right? He's gonna be grateful when he sees what Jesus thinks about it. I'm telling you, friend, he's a man of God. He's gonna be going like, Lord, I just, you know, my fathers did it. My father's fathers did it. You know, I'm sorry. I didn't listen to Chandler that much. I should have listened to Chandler a little more. I should have known it was the word of the Lord, but it was so hard because we had so many things to take care of. And the Lord goes, yeah, but, you know, when you do what I say, when you do what I do, then I take care of it, Marcus, right? Yeah. So I love you. You're welcome here. It's awesome. We're going to go back and be with Chandler later. You'll get to see him again and apologize for not listening to the Lord. So anyway, so God has dealt a definite blow to the merchandising rent and through the Marcus Lamb situation. And pray for the family. We do love them. We know they're just deceived on that one little area. Maybe once they get it straightened out, if they ever do, you know, but we're going to move into a new place. PGN is moving into a new place. And God is going to get our message out, his message out, right, in a major way. Are y'all ready for that? Do you believe for that? I think you do. Can you believe for that? I know it looks small now. I know it looks little now. And it looks like in some ways it's kind of gotten smaller. But it hasn't gotten smaller, not from the inside. Now, God has been making us big while we're little, right? Making us big in the prophetic realm. So something to get excited about. Yeah, we're moving up and moving into our place. So, yeah, anyway, all right. Praise God. So, you know, we're going to see my mom and dad as they went to heaven, whoever they are, loved ones. We're going to come back and, you know, I don't know where they're going to live, though. I got to start thinking about that. Where are they going to live? What if their house is rented out or we sold their house? Where are they going to live? Y'all, come on. I've just started thinking about this stuff. Come on. Help me. Pray. Let's just think about this. This is something new to think about. Right? Where are they going to live if their house has been sold? You know, after they got the inheritance and all that, they sold their house. Where are you going to stay? I don't know. I don't know. But I got a feeling Jesus knows. I got a feeling God knows. And so instead of dreaming about what heaven's going to be like, we're going to be dreaming, you know, more about what it's going to be like, how God's going to do things on the earth, man. That's going to be miraculous. That's going to be amazing to watch this happen. It's going to be mind-boggling. And so the Church of Jesus Christ is going to raise up and start serving Jesus in a pure way, in a very clean way. And so it's very, very interesting what's going on. You know, I really wasn't sure I was going to go tonight. I just kind of took off. And, you know, I'm just kind of went somewhere. The biggest thing that I think God wants us to know, I think the reason God is judging the church right now is we've been speaking, not the church, not the sheep, but the leadership, as very obvious with our brother Lamb. God is judging the leadership of the church, you know, the head of a major network, a Christian major network who merchandises, sells the word of God and sells Jesus. You know, like all the rest of them do. And so it's going to be, you know, what God's going to do in the next few months and years, in the next few months, especially in the next year or so, is going to remove the mix of deception, of taking the gospel, adding scripture to things, saying this is what I'm going to do, and I got a Bible scripture for it, and then doing it in your own energy, right? I think we've all done that to a certain degree, but God is in the process of delivering us from that, so that we can, like the church and merchandising is one of the biggest examples, because we use scripture to get people to give, we use scripture to get people to buy our stuff. To buy the books and the CDs and all the stuff about the revelation of Jesus, we use scripture for all that, and we mix all of it together, and it's all one mixed up mess, and so, you know, it just doesn't fit together. So God is purifying, He's taking out the mix, and he's making it pure. The Antichrist spirit really is going to, in the church, has used scriptures in a biblical way with the wrong spirit, right, of self, the spirit of self. Because self goes, I take the Bible, I say in Jesus' name, and I think they're very sincere, and then they do their thing with it, whatever that thing is, a wheel and deal, and then they, you know, to get money to build our kingdoms, the things that we think need to be done for God, when God says, you know, I will take care of my stuff, but I will not take care of your stuff, right? I will not take care of your stuff, but I will take care of the stuff I have you do. So that's what we're moving into, is the purity of not my will, but thy will be done, the purity of God removing the deception leadership so that we will freely give and freely receive, right? Because when you freely give and you freely receive, it creates a cycle of giving. And when God so loved the world that he gave, and when that cycle begins to take place, then God really starts blessing people in all kinds of ways. And so in order for that to happen, God has to take the mix out of, you know, people trying to have their own way and have their own ideas about what they think they should be doing for God instead of letting God do it through them. Just like with me, you know, I'm a good example of this. I'm getting in a hurry. I see a building that I want. I'm going after it, man. I'm believing. And something in me just wouldn't let me do it. Something in me just wouldn't let me, you know, take a hold of something in me just would not let me, you know, move forward with that. And I'm going like, God, you know, what's going on, man? I mean, we need a building. We can't go without a building long because it's going to be difficult. We got to have a building, got to have a studio and something to, you know, so it's like pushing, you know, myself. I was trying to raise money for that, but I was selling books or merchandising to get money for it. But we were doing some things to raise that money for sure. But pushing it. And the Lord says, what are you doing? He wouldn't let me do anything. I couldn't get any peace about doing anything. And so, because I was mixing it, I was taking what I thought would look be good. I was doing what I thought would be right. I was doing it. So there I was, you know, and this happens all. And thank God for his grace, he kept me from doing it because he knew that we were moving into this last season, the last month, the last couple of months of this year have been a big transition season, especially with the Day Store thing. I keep bringing that up because that's a merchandising situation that God has dealt with very heavily. And so, you know, we're seeing God purify the church. If the leadership doesn't change the way that they do the money thing or change the way they set building, and if I'd have pushed that and shoved that, I would have got us in trouble. I would have got us in a place that would have not had been good because, you know what, you know, it wasn't the pure will of God. Right? God wants to bless what's of him, only what's of him. And so by the grace of God, I didn't push myself and go start trying to, you know, get, you know, sign, get bankers to give me money to get it going on so we could get in there and keep going on and keep looking good and keep doing. And the Lord just thought, he just stopped me dead in my tracks. And so now I see that because of what's going on in the last few days, the last few weeks, with Daystar and the thing that we've been prophesying about all that, and now this, you know, a major deal was done, that it was God telling me, see, I told you, Randy, be patient. I'm going to be dealing with things. If people don't listen to me, I'm going to deal with them. I'm judging the leadership of the church. I'm judging the leadership. And you're going to start seeing the judgment of the leadership, judgment coming down on the leadership who is going out pushing and shoving to do things that they think God wants them to do, and then going out and selling and pushing and manipulating to get it done, and therefore you got nothing but flesh. You got nothing but human beings doing human things, but it has scripture to it. It's the gospel being preached. But the building and the mechanism and the structure of what we're doing is not of God. God says, I'm gonna end that. I'm gonna stop. I'm gonna judge that. I'm gonna judge that because it makes God look bad, friend. when people start doing things and then it doesn't get paid for, and then they have to start, you know, freaking out and raising money and doing all these things, and it creates a lot of pressure on people, and then it creates this thing of, instead of giving, it's like we're taking from people. We're getting them to, you know, do something. We're gonna go down if you don't do something. And so all that, God says, I provide for my kingdom. I don't provide for people's kingdom when they're doing their own thing by their own guidance. So we're going to see the Lord really start dealing with, because who's doing the buying the buildings? Who's doing the stuff to, you know, the sheep are not doing that. The leadership's doing it. They're getting all these bills going on. They got bills that need to be paid, and they want the sheep to pay for it, right? And God's going to stop that. Going to stop the oppression of that. You can start setting people free to freely give, to love giving, to love being blessed, and move into the cycle of, for God so loved the world that he gave. Right? That's what's going on. So that's what we're in. That's what all this whole thing with Marcus was about. And so we're going to start seeing a lot more of it according to what God is telling me. And so get ready. Are you ready? I don't know if I'm ready. Honest to God, I'm going like, wow, this is amazing. And so what's God going to do? He's going to show the world that when you do it my way, I'm going to show you the highway. You're going to be blessed. The blessing, the highway blessing. Yeah, I'm going to bless you. You're going to be blessed. I'm going to show the church. Brent, I'm going to take callers. I'm trying to close up here. What God's about ready is ready now to show the church, not the world, because he's judging the leadership of the church. What's that going to do when he judges leadership? Going to start turning around the way they do things. If they don't repent, God's going to deal with them, because they've been told over and over and over again, God is a very just God. Stop doing that. Start giving. Start changing the way you do business. Do business God's way, not your own way. And if they don't change that, then God's going to change them. He's going to change the guard, right? He's going to change the guard. So in the process of that, because PGN has been blessed by the Lord to establish ourselves correctly in the beginning, and as long as I don't, you know, try to get something and push and, oh, my God, you guys, you're going to have to start, you know, doing something. We've got to have more money right now. Money, give me money. And the Lord goes, Randy, I didn't give you approval to do that. You see what I'm saying? Even me, it doesn't matter who it is. But as we walk in the purity of doing thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, when we do that, according to the pattern God gives us, then you're going to see major provisions. So God's going to use PGN as an example of how he's going to take a little group of people, and bless them, and bless them, the network, and bless them, and open up and start providing supernaturally. In other words, that means God's going to get money to you. In other words, that means God's going to take care of you and bless you, because you're part of PGN, and he's going to bless you so you can be a blessing, you know. And when you do it willingly and because you want to do it, and the leadership, which is mostly me at this point, we got others too, but mostly me, the head of this, then as long as I'm walking in God's will, we're going to see major provision. God's going to provoke the church to jealousy that's out there trying to make it happen, trying to sell everything, trying to sell. And what all they do is just give. Giving. And then God's going to give back. Good measure. Pressed down, shaking together, running over. Are men going to get blessed and give back to God's church? And it's going to be amazing, y'all. We are about to see that. We're seeing the Daystar thing, the Marcus Lamb thing was a finite show going on that God's trying to say, hey, y'all, PGN, you've been listening to what's going on. PGN, you've been listening to what God's saying through the prophet. You've been listening to this and through other prophets here on PGN. You've been listening to what's going on. So, you know, you saw what happened. So take faith. Take strength. God is moving. And he's taking this very serious, and he's not going to play pity-patty with putting up with people who've been warned and warned and warned over and over and over again to stop merchandising, and they just keep on doing it, thumbing their nose at God and mocking I've had them mock me. They mock me. All kinds of fun stuff. All kinds of fun stuff. And so anyway, we are about to see God provoke the merchandising church to jealousy by the giving church. By the giving church. Freely giving church. That's what he's about to do. And if you're ready to watch that, if you're ready to see that, you're going to see it. You're already starting to see it right now. I mean, with what happened in the last few days, we are starting to see this development of God rising up and saying, I gave you plenty of time, Marcus Land. They started, I gave you plenty of time. I warned you over and over again. You weren't able to hear it. So I used that, God says, I'm using that as an example of what's going to come down to many other people. And it's going to take more than Lamb. Lamb is just one. There's going to be others. There's going to be others going to be that are going to resist God to remove them one way or the other. I don't know how he's going to deal with all of them, but he's going to remove them. Maybe they'll lose their mind. They'll lose their way. They'll lose something. They can't find the microphone. They can't find their pastors. They can't find the church. They get lost. I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know how it's going to happen. All I know is that God told me he was going to deal with it. And that was like a major, big, lethal confirmation. All right? So we're sad for the family, sad for them, but they were warned over and over, and God is a just God. He's not an unjust God. Right? He's not an unjust God. Marcus Lamb did not go to hell because he merchandised. Okay? That's what I'm trying to say. He didn't go to hell because he merchandised. All right, can I make that clear? So people get really whiny sometimes. Hey, I can't believe you're talking. Yeah, well, just get used to it. All right, get used to it. And pray for me. If you pray for me, I'll probably do it more. Probably, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. But we know God's going to deal with it. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be like God going into Egypt and being jealous over his baby doll Israelites. Taken up for him and deliver him out of that monstrous, oppressive hand. He's going to do the same thing with the church leadership. A little bit different thing, not Egypt. It's the church leadership. You're going to bring this out of that. And those who come will be blessed, and those who don't, they will not be blessed. They will be dealt with heavily, according to however God deals with them. Marcus Lamb was just it was a big show. It was a really big show. Really, really big show. Really was. And devastating, difficult to comprehend as a prophet. I have to tell you, what's really going on and tell it to you plainly so there'll be no guessing, no questioning. Hopefully you have no questions or guessing about that, because if you do, let me know. We'll try to answer questions. Call us tonight. See what's going on. All right. So we have our first caller tonight. A second. All right, our first caller tonight is 863. All right. Hang on a second. You'll be our first caller. 202 will be our second caller. 610, our third caller. 610, 325 will be next. 972 after that. 240 after that. 754 after that. 214. 832 after that. 312 after that. 623 after that. 803 after that. Thank you. 720, then 819 after that. 919 after that. And that's all. Oh, 940. And that's all that have their hand up right now. So we'll start with that and go from there. If you don't have your hand up and you want prayer tonight or ministry, you have several people that do not have their hand up. If you want that, just get your hand up there. Text me at 214-505-8719, and I will respond to your text. Let me know that you're there. And if you don't have your hand up, all right? If you don't have your hand up, I'm not going to call your number because I think you might just be listening and observing, okay? That's why we do that. All right. All right, let's go here. And all right, 863-268, who am I talking to you from tonight, please? All right, 863-268, are you there? Hello? 863-268? Anybody here? 863, I can't hear. It's my first call and I can't hear them. Are they talking? I can't tell. Okay. I know that's Nikki and Charles. Okay. And let's see. All right. Thank you, Jesus, for Nikki and Charles tonight, Father. We thank you, Lord, for the housing, for housing for them, for a place for them to be housed. You know, housing of God, whether that's a new trailer or a new something, it's a housing. I heard the word housing. And so housing can be a lot of different things. So I thank you, Jesus, for opening up the housing room for them, a place to house things, to house people, to house, you know, kinfolk, neighbors, you know, whatever, I don't know. And the housing area for them, Father, so you're opening up that housing area to house them. And in Jesus' name, and to secure them that place to live and to be, to sink the roots in. And we thank you, Jesus, for that. And not only, just in every area, not just physical house only, you know, or housing or some kind of, you know, special trailer that you want to live in or whatever. But just housing. So I thank you, Jesus, for that. Open that up for them and give them the favor. And thank you, Lord, for Charles, God, that you're healing him. I don't know where he's at with his situation, but thank you, Lord, for healing him. Thank you for opening him up to the seer inside of him, God, that you open up the seer inside of him where he begins to see things and know things that he's never seen or known before. You're breaking open the seeing realm to my brother Charles tonight, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. All right. All right, 202-722, are you there?
I'm here. Thank you, Randy. It's Nicole from D.C.
Oh, good. So my audio is working. All right, great. Thank you, Nicole. All right, Nicole from D.C. Thank you, Nicole. Thank you, Jesus, for the love fest, Father, for that love fest that Nicole will experience, the love fest. You know, we've talked. I don't know what love fest this means exactly, but we've talked here. We talked there for 2 or 3 years, maybe longer, about the love fest, calling PGN the love fest, instead of revival, the love fest. And opening up the love fest realm for you to discover the anointing of love, of the love of God, personal love, of course, too, but anointing for the love of God for his people. I just sense that you're getting a love of God for his people like a mother gets a love for their child. You know, you just automatically just get connected. You just automatically like go, wow. You know, you're just like, I can't believe I love this much. And I see you just the love realm, the love fest. I don't want to say love fest. Love fest, this is what came out of me, but love fest is something that we have talked about here on PGN, that PGN have a, instead of calling it revival, we call it love fest. To give a different image of what some people think revival is, they think it's just all about people coming down to the altar and getting saved. Well, that's huge, but we're talking about the prophetic realm, the healing realm, every part of it where you know, everything is done, and it's done in love, and it's given away freely, no charge for nothing, for anything. Everything is given away. And for God so loved the world that he gave. And you're going to experience that. And God's opening you up to the love fest realm to walk in that love, to see love. You're going to see love. You're going to see it. I don't know what that means exactly, but you're going to see love. How do you see love? Don't ask me exactly, but you see it. You're going to see it. God's going to let you see love. And so really, really awesome. All right. Really cool. All right. And I know Nicole has a show coming up here this month. Actually, it's this month already. Wow. It is December, I think, December 23rd, 24th, 25th. We'll let you guys know about it. And she's learning how to work the show and all that, work the whole system that we have, learning how to do it. So pray for her. She does that. All right, Nicole, God bless you. Thank you, Jesus. All right, 610-969. Who am I talking to? Where are you from, please? 610-969. All right. People are not answering their phone tonight. All right. Thank you, Jesus, for Lisa. I think that's Lisa from Pennsylvania. Thank you, Lord, for Lisa. I thank you, Lord, for connecting her to family. Father, that she feels more family, the family realm. That the family connection, the family realm, the family place where family is, you know, Jesus said, my mothers and brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. And God connecting you, Lisa, to doers of the word, not just, you know, people who act like they're doing it or talk about doing it, but that actually do it. And I know that you live in that, you want to be a doer. You are a doer and you want to be a doer more. And so, God, you know, connecting you to a pure group, you know, of people, maybe just all from different places, all of it, maybe part PGN, part your church, whatever. I don't know exactly how this is going to happen. But connecting you to people who have a pure heart to serve God and do what God says, not just talk about it, right? And so, God, really connecting you that to a family and you feeling like you're around a real family, like Jesus knew when he was, when they said your mother and brothers are outside waiting for you, you go, they want to talk to you. He said, well, I'm with my family right now. And he wasn't saying they weren't his family. He was just saying that. So I see you really connecting to the love part of the family, where you, you know, you realize that the purity of having the family of God, those who do the word of God, not just talk about it, is going to be purifying and cleansing and empowering, to say the least. All right? Very cool. All right, 25280, who am I talking to, where you from, please?
Chris from Texas.
Hey, Chris. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for satisfying him. God, I thank you for the hungering thirst. The Bible says those who hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. And I see God filling you, Chris, with righteousness, knowing that, of course, you're right with God and living right with God, staying right with God, but having that righteous thing of knowing that what you're doing is the right thing, having the right righteousness, the right motive, righteousness, the right attitude, righteousness, the right purpose, you know, the right intentions, and God putting his intentions or his will. You know, the Bible says every time we say, not my will, but thy will be done, God moves us into a place where we start willing what he wills, and it actually becomes our will or our desire. We actually want to do this instead of just thinking, man, I better do this for God. No, it's something that you really want to do. And so that righteous desires, the righteous passion, doing things for the right reason, with the right motive, with the right purpose, and God really working within that to where your will is the will of God. And because that's what he says. Scripture, people, it's all, oh, that can never happen. Yeah, well, you know, God, it's a process, but at the same time, you know, the Bible does say he'll give you the desires of your heart. What does that mean? Well, if your desires are not his desires, he's not going to give them to you, right? Because he knows they're going to mess you up. But if your desires are his, and his are yours, and they really are yours, it's what you want, then that's righteousness. That's righteousness. God really opened you up to that. So when you feel, and when you feel you want to do something, you're going to feel right about it. You're going to feel this right thing, like, I feel right, I feel peace. And God's showing you the righteous realm of living right and doing right and being right with God. Because being right with God is not just not sinning. You know, like not going out and stealing something. Being right with God is doing what God says the way he wants it done, right? That's what right is. Right, right. Yeah, right. Righteous. Pretty cool. Wow, very interesting. All right, very cool. All right, 972-695. Who am I talking to? Your front, please.
Hey, Randy, it's Terrence and Tanisha from Texas.
Yeah. All right. Good to have you guys. All right, Terrence and Tanisha. Thank you, Jesus, Father, for subduing the enemy, for subduing things, the subduing realm. Let me look that up real quick. I kind of know what subdue means, but let me see. Subdue. Ooh, subdue. Subdue. Okay, let me see here. Guess it would help if I got my phone on the internet. Okay, give me a second here. Okay, I'm going to turn it on. All right, I'm getting that word subdue, and I don't have my thing going on here. All right, subdue, here we go. Subdue, overcome, Q-U-I-E-T-E-N, or bring under control, a feeling or person. She managed to subdue an instinct to applaud. All right, just stop. Right, Sharon says stop. Very good, just stop. Okay, I like that. To overcome, to stop something. That's what she sent that. Yeah, I like that. Bring a country or people under control by force. You know, like bringing something, you know, subduing something is taking, control of it. In other words, you know, we take things by force, you know, in the spirit, and God really, you know, is pouring this into you about subduing, you know, to subdue our enemies. There's a scripture, I know there's a scripture somewhere, let me see if I can find the scripture for this. Subdue, let me see, subdue definition, let's look here. Okay, to conquer and bring into subjection, to vanquish, hold them back. Sharon said, me some said, held them back, to bring under control, especially by exertion. My internet's a little slow tonight, so to get control of a violent or dangerous person or group. In other words, I think he's talking about your children. No, I'm just kidding. You're gonna be a better, stronger, more subduing mother. No, you know, I'm just kidding about that. But okay, let's go here. Okay. Hang on a second. My stuff is messing with me tonight. Okay, all right. So I kind of like that. That's pretty cool. To get control of a violent or dangerous person or group by using force or punishment. Right? To get control of something, such as a strong emotion, to conquer and bring into subjection, to vanquish, bring land under cultivation. I'm just reading the ones I get, as you know. So the word subduing, I just heard the word subdue automatically right away. Subdue and subduing to get control of a violent. I like this one. That'll fit. To get control. It perceives a violent or dangerous person or group by using force or punishment, you know. Or in other words, you know, spiritually speaking, you know, we do that in prayer. We, you know, the authority to subdue, where because we have the authority to subdue. If the enemy comes through somebody, you know, to mess with us, comes in our territory, then if they're coming into our territory, Tanisha, as you know, we have the authority to subdue them or to stop them, right? Yeah, it's like you have an outsider thinking, well, I can do whatever I want to. No, God's giving you the right or the responsibility or the power to stop that kind of situation going on. Or when they come in your territory, and the Lord's saying, he's saying he wants you to know that he's going to show you your territory, your territorial rights before God. Because I think this whole thing about territorial thing, I've given you words about, you know, authority over certain regions, you know, like in Texas, that kind of thing. I don't remember what all I said about that, but it's about subduing and knowing what territory God has given you. Like once God gave Israel, Canaan land to Israel, then it was theirs, even though it was, you know, belonged to the giants and whoever else before. Once God gave it to them, even though they had to go take it by force, right? Once God gave it to them, Tanisha, then they had the power. So once the enemy came in, you know, trying to come back in and take the territory that they used to have, when they come in and they try to, you know, overtake Israel now, then that's their territory. And when God gives us territory, we have the power to subdue or take control over anybody or anything who tries to come in and mess with it, you know, like to stop it. Wow, that's powerful. I'll take that. I'll take some of that. Well, I have some of that. But I want more. I want to do it. You know, we want to do it God's way. But so powerful, girl. Wow, listen to that. That is amazing. Absolutely amazing. Yeah, okay, cool. All right, so, wow, all right. And Terrence, we thank you for Terrence tonight, God. We thank you for Terrence, God. Thank you, Father, for his – see, I'm getting the same thing for Terrence, too. Something about territorial rights. That God is really wanting to teach you guys about territorial rights, to know what your territory is. Because if you don't know what your territory is, you think, oh, well, maybe, you know, maybe they can come and, you know. So once you know your territory, once you know what you own or what God has given to you, then you have the right to subdue something or to stop it. You know, in other words, if you're out in the community somewhere and you don't have any rights and territory over that property or land, or you're on somebody else's property or land, you know, you have territorial rights over your body. You have, from God, you have territorial rights over your husband, if you will, to protect. Your husband has the rights over the wife, you know, the children. And so God's showing you what your territory is, like your house. You know, that's why people try to come in on your house. You know, walk in your yard, whatever you want to, you can stop them because that's your territory, right? You can actually call the police, and you have the authority, the right to call the police and let them come and stop it. So, yeah, I really see God doing that with you guys and showing you your territory so that you can know for sure you cannot come beyond this line right here. Like, that's what a lion does. A lion knows its territory, and when somebody comes in, you know, unannounced or whatever, without permission, that lion starts roaring, and they know you've entered into territory, and God put in a roar inside you to let you know that the roar he's giving you is, you know, so that, and then if they don't bow to the roar of the lion, the territorial, you know, part of your life, very interesting word. Wow, I love this stuff. And it's amazing how it's kind of, you know, with Terrence, it was territorial, but yeah, same thing, basically, with you. They're basically the same words. It's an expansion of it. Okay, that's really cool. I got to really think about that one. That is really, like, I never put all that together before. We kind of know we got territorial rights, but when you really realize it and know it, then you know. Then you rise up in true authority, and okay, Tanisha says, please pray for Zena, too. Yes. Yes, Lord, we thank you that even with Zena, knowing that, you know, that the territorial thing with Zena and the whole situation with that, God, that you begin to deal with that situation, Father, in the territorial realm. We have to share things, that kind of thing, but when something is in your territory and you have territory rights over that and they no longer have territory rights, then, you know, and I'm not just talking about legally, I'm talking about spiritually speaking, So I think the whole thing, Terrence and Tanisha, is that God show you that, you know, people don't stop on their own. In other words, if they don't repent and get it right and stop, like we, like we've talked about recently with the, you know, with the Marcus Lamb thing and merchandising and that whole thing. You know, when people eventually, when they don't listen, you give them plenty of warning, plenty of warning. This is not about my thing, but it's about God's thing. And God uses you as a servant to warn them over and over and over and over again, and they don't yield to it. Guess what? Watch out, because when it's God's stuff and it's God's children and God's territory, you want to, when God gets ready to deal with something, because it's his stuff, when you're doing what his will is and not your own will, but doing, you know, doing God's will, like what we talk about, you know, like it just happened just recently with the Daystar Network. People have a lot of different opinions about that, but I'm speaking very clearly, very plainly. I'm not dancing around this thing. So there you go. So that whole territorial thing, you know, if they don't yield or listen or stop doing, invading territory that's not theirs or doing things that are wrong, guess what? One way or the other, you know, God's going to deal with it. I never dreamed God would deal with the merchandising thing and with Lamb the way he did, but he did. And it's going to cause some people to at least look a little closer. It may take about 4 or 5 more plagues, so to speak. But God's, when God's dealing with something, he's going to deal with it. And so, all right, there you go. Okay, hang on a second here. I'm trying to, I'm going to shift gears for a second. Hang on. Okay, I'm back. All right. All right, 240-482. Can I talk to you from, please?
Valerie from North Carolina.
Oh, hey, Valerie. All right, Valerie, good to have you.
Hello.
All right. Yeah, bless you. Thank you so much. All right, thank you, Lord, for Valerie. I got something here. Somebody sent me something. Hang on a second. Let me check and see if it's something important. Right now, okay. Martine sent this note. You have armed me with strength for the battle. You have subdued my enemies under my feet. Thank you, Martine. I like your orange. Yeah, that's what scripture was that, by the way? Psalms 18:39. Tanisha, I think that's from you, from Martine. You have armed me with strength for the battle. You have subdued my enemies under my feet. Whoa. Thank you, Martin. All right, we love it. All right. Yeah, Sharon says she sent a word about that that I gave you was about hold them back. So I guess God's speaking about that, I said, looks like to me. All right, Valerie. Thank you, Valerie, for being with us tonight. Thank you, Jesus, for the cool refreshing. I see God refreshing you, like giving you like a break or something. Like I don't know if it's a spiritual break or some kind of something spiritually, but having a refreshing of the Lord, where that you are being refreshed by him. And I don't know if it's a vacation. I'm not sure if it's physical, spiritual, whatever it is, but it's awesome. And the times of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord and God pouring his presence into you, Valerie. Lord, I just release your presence. I release the presence of peace and of joy and of happiness and laughter and fun. Laughter and fun. And just being able to, you know, I've gone through seasons of my life where right in the middle of all the big bog down thing, all of a sudden I start laughing. I had this happen to me, 3 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago on the show? I laughed for 3 hours, literally. I mean, it was crazy, but I'm not ashamed of it. It was amazing. And right after that, I got a breakthrough. You know, right after that, some of y'all heard some of the people tell me the words. I can't remember who it was, that we were mocking the enemy when we were laughing. We were laughing, and so that gave the breakthrough, and God, you know, brought judgment on some things I can't even talk about. I'm just saying that this happens for the world to see, but you know, some of those people mess with me in a way they should have been messing with me. And I'm just trying to do God's will. I'm just a little guy over here trying to do God's will. And when God puts a stone in my hand, that's, as a prophet, it's something down. He just takes it down. He does. And so, take your hands off, right? That's right. Carmen says one night Lisa and Carmen were listening to the show, and we were doing a little prayer time, and they said that I was saying in Spanish like 3 or 4 times. However you say it, take hands off in Spanish. Can't even say the word right now. Quita el mano, something like that. Take hands off. And I was praying that. Didn't even know I was praying it. They told me I was praying it. I didn't know. And so it was really cool. But let me tell you something, friend. If you're, you know, like you're PGN, the way God has told us to do things, if you're doing what God's telling you to do, Valerie, He's gonna have the enemy take his hands off. That's been the prayer in the spirit that's been happening to me, as some will bear witness, that I was praying in the spirit, and somebody said, I pray in Spanish, take hands off. So in the spirit man, if the spirit of God through me was praying that prayer, that means that's what's going on. He's saying, you know, take hands off, Satan, take hands off. So in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you that you're take hands off, Satan, off of Valerie, off her life, off her family, off her finances, off her blessing, and let her enter into the blessing of the Lord, the freedom of the Lord, financial freedom, to feel free from the oppression of just having to pay bills, and having to take care of everything, and having to do all this stuff. In the name of Jesus, give her peace, give her rest, give her joy, God. Let her just laugh with a belly flopping laugh, God, and just joy. And people say, what are you laughing about? You get all this stuff going on. I don't know. God just blessing me. God just bless me. Amen. In Jesus' name, give you a refreshing of the Lord in the name of Jesus. All right, 754-240. Who am I talking to you from, please? All right, 754. What was that? That must be Tanya snoring. Is that actually snores, Donald? That Donald snoring, or is that the kids snoring? Probably neither one. I'm just kidding. All right. I don't know. Maybe they just. Let's see. Hang on a second. Donald and Tanya. Had to make fun of that. Of course. God forgive me for being so non-serious. Not really. All right. Jesus is good. All right. Donald and Tanya, thank you, Lord. Donald called in last night. It's really awesome, man. Brother, it was so good talking to you last. That needle in the haystack thing was so cool. I just really got blessed by that. And the strategy behind all of it, right? When I ever able to tell the whole story about how we became a needle in the haystack, it's like God says, Randy, this is going to happen, but it's not going to happen because you had all the right things to do it with. You know, you didn't have YouTube. You know, you had this one little bitty thing. And nothing else seemed to be working. You know, it's like we got locked into this one little thing, like a needle in a haystack. Where we're hard to find. If you find this, it's a miracle. You know, it's amazing. You're called to be. If you find, you know, Randy Chandler or PGN or our host or whoever there, when you find it, it's amazing. And so, you know, God, you know, it's so cool you said that, because God showed me that as a strategy. You know, a couple of years ago. He allowed things to be shut off so that we couldn't give anybody credit or anything credit, really, to the way everybody else does things, right? So and that's kind of a work for you. It's like God's going to do that with you. It's like it's going to work in ways that, you know, God's going to put you right in the middle of things, and it's not going to make any sense. It's not going to, they're going to, people are going to go like, how did you get here? How did you do that? I don't know, man. It's just God. That's it. It's just God. And so thank you, Jesus, for that with Donald and Tanya, Father, that they're going to find themselves in that position to just be favored by God, that it's not about we got all the goodies, we got all the stuff. No, we got God, period. And God's got us, and he's doing it through us. And Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, for that testimony that you're giving them in Jesus' name. How you just pick them up. They just happened to find, you know, the right thing at the right time and didn't even know why, didn't know what's going on, and God connected you. And that's just the way, because you're sanctified and set apart in the Lord. That's the main thing. All right. Now I'm telling you, God bless you guys. All right, 402-214. Can I talk to you where you're from, please?
Hi, Randy. It's Sharon, New York.
All right, Sharon. Good to have you tonight from New York. Thank you for helping us with some of those words. Thank you, Jesus, for sharing. God, we thank you, Lord, for her friendliness with Jesus, for her ability to not only have him as Lord and Savior, but have him as friend and find Jesus as a friend who really cares. You know, what Jesus wants to show you, Sharon, what a true friend really is. Because you have that friendship thing inside you. To be a true friend like Jesus is a true friend is very unique. That Jesus was a friend to sinners, right? Friend to sinners. He was a friend to, you know, Peter, James, and John, to his disciples. Yeah, he was the Lord. He was their corrector, their rebuker, their teacher, their lover. He loved them. He blessed them. He took care of them. He watched over them. He was a friend. He was a friend. He was their friend. He showed them what a real friend is like. He said, I want you guys to be friendly and to have friends. I want you to be friendly. Do the friendly thing. And that's one thing God's been teaching me, too, is do the friendly thing. So it's really, really cool how God has been doing that. And, so showing the friendly thing. And showing it to you, Sharon, that's what I'm talking about, showing you his friendship, showing you that he's what kind of friend he is to you, and opening that friendship thing up to you, because we think we know what friendship is, what friends really are, but we really don't, because Jesus is the greatest friend a man can have, right? Dogs can be a great friend, but even Jesus is a greater friend than that, even. And we love our dogs. We love our puppy dogs, right, our babies and our animals and stuff. But Jesus is a friend above all friends. And, Lord, I thank you for showing that the reason you made dogs, whether you made them, because that's part of you. That's part of what you're like. You're loyal. You're a friend. You just love us. I thank you, Lord, for opening it up to her in new levels in Jesus' name. So she will not only receive that from you, but be that for you, for others, as she is. She will be a friend, a true friend to others in Jesus' name, a friend of Jesus. When people are going to see Sharon, they're going to know, she's a friend of Jesus. She's a friend like Jesus. Yeah, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. A friend to sinners, be able to friendship sinners. You know, we're different. When you're friends with sinners, it's a different kind of friendship, right, than we are with believers. Right, we can't sit in the council of the wicked and the heathen, but we can befriend them, you know. But among brothers, it's a whole different kind of friendship. And God's showing you the difference, showing you how it works, and making you know and make you feel that he really is your friend. He sticks closer than a brother. Sticks closer than a brother, a good brother. All right, not sharing. All right, 832-21-231. Who am I talking to you from, please?
Tasha from Texas.
It's who?
Tasha from Texas.
Oh, hi, Tasha. All right, Tasha, good to have you. All right, God bless you. Thank you so much, Tasha. Thank you, Jesus, for Tasha. God, I thank you for that thing where, you know, Jesus got grieved by things. Be grieved by things is a good thing. It's like it's a signal. It's like it's a sign. Things saying something's wrong, something's not right. The Holy Spirit gets grieved with us. You know, he gets grieved with us. The Holy Spirit gets grieved. And he, So, you know, being able to feel what God feels and being able to sense what God senses, you know, and God trying to show us many times a lot of the things that we feel and sense, if we're born again, if we're serving Jesus, you know, we're feeling him. You're feeling him, girl. You're feeling Jesus. You're sensing Jesus. you're feeling how he feels about things. Sometimes I'll be watching some kind of program or watching something or watch or seeing somebody, and I get really irritated with them, and I don't even know who they are. I'm going, God, what's going on? He said, it's like he's trying to show me that I'm really grieved with that person. I want you to pray for them. So I feel the grief that he feels toward that person. He says, I'm really grieved because there's things going on. Pray for that person, so I won't be grieved over them anymore. You know what I'm saying? So I'm feeling grief over somebody I don't even know because God loves him so much, Tasha, and he loves him so much that he's asking me to agree with him and pray over them that they will, you know, get blessed or get changed or get repent or whatever the thing is he wants them to do. And so God really is awakening that inside of you where you become awakened to the power of knowing that what you're feeling, you know, I'm not saying everything we feel is always God. Of course I'm not saying that. But the more and more we capture his heart, the more and more we say and walk in, not my will, but thy will. And you know what the will it is? The will of God is his feelings. It's his emotions. It's his desires. It's his choices, you know. And so as you connect to that, that fresh anointing to God establish you as a person who, you know, you don't have to go, okay, God, I'm just going to spend 3 hours praying to know what your will is. No, you're going to feel it. You're going to sense it. You're going to know it. You know, is your heart always praying? Your heart always, your spirit, man, if you're born again, I mean, I know you are, is seated with Christ in heavenly places at all times, 24 hours a day. So we always have a part of us that is connected to God and feeling God and sensing God. So God teaches us how to receive that and know that we are already connected. Prayer just kind of helps us, you know, get in the flow of connecting to it and listening to what's going on in our spirit man. Our spirit man is always in touch with God. Because that's what being born again is. Your spirit man gets totally recreated and seated with Christ in heavenly places, always with God. And to connect with that is connecting with God. Amen? Yeah. So God really opening that up for you, anointing you to do that, calling you to do it, knowing you're born again for that very reason, to communicate with God and feel his feelings so that you can know how he feels. Jesus would walk along with people, and all of a sudden he'd get irritated with them, and God would let him see what was in their mind. They would see. He would really know what was inside their mind. He would feel it. He would know it. He would sense it. He would hear the thoughts. And it's why? Because he was, you know, it's what I'm telling you. That whole realm is all about connecting with God. When you connect with God, God loves people, and he wants us to feel. And when God wants to protect us, he can show us what's going on in the mind of a person so that we can quietly rebuke him. We don't have to rebuke him out loud. We can rebuke him quietly, saying, in Jesus' name, I take authority over that aggressive anger or whatever it is, you know, and those thoughts. Yeah, and I subdue them in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, feeling it, knowing it, sensing it. We don't have to wait to get to heaven to feel and sense and know God and communicate with God. That's what we're born again for, man. It's amazing. All right. I don't know what that's about, but that's cool. All right, 312-841, who am I talking to you from, please?
Hey, this is Marja from Illinois.
Hi, Marja. All right, Marja, good to have you. All right, Marja, I just see the blessing of God. Lord, I just thank you for blessing her, God, for letting her heart just have a total expectation of a new season in her life, a total expectation of a new season. God, that sometimes when I get really bored with things, you know, sometimes I think, is that my flesh? What's going on? Many times when I'm getting bored with stuff, it's because, you know, I'm not saying every time, but many times when I'm getting bored, you know, the same old thing every day, what's going on? You know, and then I really, really, really get bored with it, and then I really, really get bored, really, really, really bored. And it's like, and I say, okay, God, what's going on? And something breaks through, and I break through, and I enter into a new season to where I'm doing a whole new thing. Things are going on. And that's what I feel like with you, Marja. God is entering you into a new season, a new time of fulfillment and satisfaction and knowing that you are moving forward, that you are changing, you are being rearranged, you are walking in God, you are walking in love, you are walking in his perfection. God's love in you is being perfected, amen, and that love is the reason God pours love into us is so that people want to love us, right? If people really knew God, Marjorie, you know, they would want to love him. When they got to know Jesus, they just wanted to love him. They wanted to hang around him because he was the best thing that ever was. He was the most loving, kind, gentle, generous person that you could ever meet. And that love in him, everybody wanted that love. And so I just sense that God is really, you know, connecting you with that. And so you can walk in that love. That's, and his love, when it's manifesting in you, people see that love in you, and they're going like, man, she's like, wow, I got to love that girl. I really love that girl. I really love that girl. Wow, I really love her. You see, because the love of God draws people, draws them to love you. And that's why the love of God is so important. Amen. That's why Jesus was loved so much, dearly loved by people. They followed him everywhere, right? Yeah. All right. 623-282, who I talked to you from, please.
This is Carmen from Texas. God bless you, Prophet Randy.
Oh, hey, Carmen. No, thank you so much. All right. Thank you. I receive it. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, and that's one thing I see, you know, you're doing more and more, Carmen, is God having you speak blessing over people, because people have been so much cursed by people, not cursed by I curse you thing, but just spoken down to, making them feel less. That's what a prisoner is. That's what a prisoner is. That's what a slave is somebody who's talked down to. You know you're a slave because they treat you like a slave, right? Every morning you wake up and they treat you like, so you know, you get reminded every day you're a slave. So when God uses you to speak blessing over people, it's to show them that with God, you're not a slave. With God, you're a servant. With God, you're his friend. With God, you're loved. With God, you're his child. You know, and speaking blessing over people is what causes them to know, hey, I'm more than some slave. It's just here in the earth, you know, trying to, you know, pay my bills and can't barely making it. And I have to go to work every day. I have to go to work every day. I have to go do all these things, but if I don't, you know, and they're a slave. And God using you to release them from slavery. And the whole slavery realm, Carmen, God's going to open you up to that, to setting people, setting the captives free, setting the slaves free, like that Moses woman. I saw a historical account about, I think they called her Moses. And she was an African-American woman, you know, who became who went out and started getting slaves and taking them to free territory where they could be free. You know, she literally did that. And they called her Moses because she was doing that. And so that's kind of what I'm seeing you do. In that sense, is taking people to a place of freedom, breaking loose the slavery, whatever's holding them bound, whatever's making them feel like a slave, whether it's demons, whether it's, you know, not believing God enough to know that he loves them, he's watching them, they're not a slave to him, they're the love of his life. And speaking blessing over them where they start realizing, hey, I'm not just a slave. I'm a child of God, and he loves me. Amen. In Jesus' name. All right. Very cool. All right, Colin, God bless you. 803-991, who am I talking to? Where are you from, please?
Raymond from South Carolina. And can you pray for Pat from Georgia also?
I'm sorry, I missed part of it. Is it Angela?
It's Angela, South Carolina. Yes.
Yeah, pray for who?
Pat. Patricia from Georgia.
Pat, yes. Patricia, yes, I will. Thank you, Angela. I thank you very much. Thank you. All right, I appreciate you. Appreciate you calling. Thank you, Lord, for Angela. And God, I thank you for the new horizon, like a new horizon. I'm not sure what horizon means. I think it's like a new beginning or something, like a new. Hang on a second. All right, new horizon. I'm looking this up as I always do in Google. New horizon pronoun: the limits of what one wants to do, or of what one is interested or involved in. An example here: as your horizon expands, as your horizons expand. Let's see. Let me go here. I'm hard time reading this. There we go. These new ideas can give a whole new meaning of life. experiencing other cultures, helping to broaden our horizons, or even the examples here. You cannot close your eyes to see. Close your eyes to see new horizons. All right. New horizons, the limits of what one wants to do or of what one is interested or involved in. Okay, I'm not sure that if that's clear as I want it to be. Okay, here it is. The phrase means a fresh start in life. It could be a job, a travel, relationship. Anything of all that's a change from the previously. It's quiet. It's quite a positive phrase. Right, I believe that. All right, a new horizon. I just see a new horizon. That's what I'm getting for you. New horizon. Interesting. Very interesting. New horizon. Okay, interesting. Lord, we pray for Pat tonight, God. We thank you, Lord, for Pat, that you subdue Pat's enemies. That the things that come against Pat in Jesus' name that keep her from the perfect will of God, keep her from knowing who her God is, and in the ways that she needs. Pat can already, obviously already knows God, I'm sure, but to one level or the other. But to the things that are stopping Pat from knowing God, like you need to know him as healer, you know him as Savior, you know him as provider, but you don't know him as healer. You know, like may Pat get to know God in those ways that Pat needs to know him. And she said, the ways that, and so open up that dimension of the Spirit, God, that will feed Pat, what Pat needs in Jesus' name. Feed Pat the will of the Father. Let Pat, Patricia, get a hold of this thing about the will of the Father. When you want the will of the Father, when you're believing for the will of the Father, you have to fight for it. You have to fight for it. Because the world's fighting for you not to have it, Pat. He's fighting. And God is fighting for you to have it. So choose you this day who you will serve in every circumstance, in every situation, in choosing God is my healer if you don't know him as healer. God is my provider if you don't know him as at a new level or whatever. In the name of Jesus, and deliver God and bring forth your power and your love in Jesus' name. Amen. And your compassion in Jesus' name, O Pat. That's your compassion and your love, God. Pour all over Pat right now. God Almighty, pour your love, dear Jesus, over Pat. I see Pat's hands being raised, giving God praise, giving God Pat's hands being raised, giving God praise, Pat's hands being raised, giving God praise. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, let it be done. Amen. All right, 720-819. Who am I talking to? Your friend, please.
You got Jeff and Yuki here.
All right, good to have you guys. All right, good talking to you guys the other night. I really love how Yuki is, getting her prophetic stuff out there. I love it. God's showing you guys how to, work all that and do that. Because it's important. People, God is raising up prophets. He's raising up people who hear the voice of God, and Yuki is one of those, of course. And with you, Jeff, is that creative streak. That creative streak. God is breathing on the creative streak. And the creative, I mean, creative in how when Jesus answered people's when they tried to trip him up or mess him up, he had creative ways on how to disarm them. He had creative ways on how to deal with them. And it had a lot to do with knowing the roots of things, how things work. Because Jesus made everything, right? He knew how everything worked. He knew how the law worked. They couldn't trip him up on the law. They didn't know that he's the one who made the law. They kept saying, oh, what about this law? And it'd be some tricky thing that nobody could answer. But he would answer because he knew the foundation. He made the law. He knew the foundation of it. So knowing the foundation of things and how things work and how God works things, how business works now, and so being ready to, let that creativity of how you answer people, how you deal with people, God, give me creative ways on how to deal with people. Sometimes it's just as basic as just being kind when they're unkind. how to disarm their enemy, you know, is probably one of the greatest strategies that we have, is to disarm them. Because they come in, you know, I can see it sometimes before it happens. Not always, but many times I can see somebody, you know, the enemy's messing with them, and because he's messing with them, he thinks he can mess with me, right? So he comes through them to mess with me, you know, and I see it coming. And under my breath, many times, in Jesus' name, I rebuke you. Satan, you're not going to use that person. That person is innocent. You know, I'm not going to get a rift going on with them because you have a rift with me. I bind you, and God's shown you the root of things. You know, who's doing what through who? And being able to, is it God speaking through them, or is the devil speaking through them to get to you? And knowing that we don't get in an argument with them, we rebuke the devil off of them so that the devil will leave them and they can, you know, quit being used of it. The enemy uses people that are innocent and kind and sweet and wonderful people having a good day, and he'll just mess them up on their way to work. And, you know, and then when they get to work, they're just like the devil's just, they're good. They're normally good people, but today the devil's on them, and he's going to harass us through them. And so we have to help them, rebuking the devil off of them. And so God's showing you how to function under the root, how things are working, what's really going on behind the scenes, to deal with things from the root level, from behind the scenes, where the things are really going on. And, you know, like Jesus cursed the root of the fig tree and it dried up, right? He went right to the root of it. God's showing you how to go right, Yunuki, how to go right to the root of things. Amen. Instead of spending months and years trying to deal with it, go to the root of it. Amen. And God anointing your eyes and your ears to hear the voice of God. Amen. All right, 919-801. Who am I talking to you from, please? Are you there? All right, 919. I don't know who that is. Are you there, 919? Hello? All right, 919. I don't know who that is, but thank you, Jesus, for 919. But we thank you for the places and times and seasons. Places, times, and seasons. You know, there's sometimes, you know, there's a place for times and seasons. When you start realizing that there's, you know, there's a time to do something, that, you know, the Ecclesiastes says there's a time to hate, there's a time to love, you know, and God showed you how to flow within the seasons, you know, when it's a time to destroy, there's a time to tear down, there's a time to build, you know, and knowing in a situation when to tear down and when to build, right? Knowing when something's going on, how do I handle this? What needs to be done? Does it need to be destroyed and rebuilt, need to be, you know, whatever. Do I hate what's going on and love the person? And or is it time to deal things harshly at the moment? Take things under control, take things under authority, you know, bind and loosen and come aggressive. And then sometimes there's a time to be aggressive. Sometimes there's a time to just kind of lay back and be at peace because God's going to work it out. You know, and God's showing you how to do what he wants you to do. And then when you do what he wants you to do, then he's able to get in and do what he wants to do. God needs you, 919, to do his part, to do the part he calls you to do, because what you do has to do with getting him involved in it, right? It's not just you doing something. You're doing the best you can to activate and do things the way he's telling you to do it. Treat him the right way. Do the right thing. Act the right way. You know, do the right thing. And when you do that, then God is able, he connects to what he's had you do for him, and then he gets in there, and because of that, he can act, he can move and do things, right? Yeah, because of your obedience to get in and do things. All right, 940-224, who am I talking to you from, please? 940-224. All right, I think it's Michael from Texas, I believe. All right. Thank you, Jesus, for Michael, Father. Thank you for the sonship God is teaching you how to be, you know, how Jesus was a son to the Father. That's what he was. He, when he was in the earth, he wasn't God. He wasn't God the Father. He was God the Son, right? And so he learned how to be a son to the Father. And because when you're a son, when you're in relationship, when you're the son, and you're not the father, then you learn how to be a son to the Father. How do I be a good son to my Father? And that, and this whole thing about training you and showing you how to be a good son to your Father will show you how to be a good father to your son or to your children. Right? So it's all about developing you into your future relationships and your future ministry, your future business, your future calling with the Lord, that you learn how to, like relational things, like when you're at work, the boss is your boss, and you're the employee. You're the employer and the employee. How do you be a good employee, right? God's showing you how to develop being what he wants you to be, and like be the best employee in the whole company, be the best son of the Father. You know, be the best, do the best, please the Father. You know, please about do with the boss, do with God, all with God's guidance, Michael. Doing what God says and being the best. God wants you to. He's showing you that you can be the best with His help, because you'll be the best son, the best employer, the best salesman, the best friend, whatever. God wants to make you the best, bro. Really, really proud of you. I'm really thankful for you. In Jesus' name, a real blessing. All right, 480-637. Who I talk to you, refund, please.
Greg from Arizona.
Hey, Greg. Brother Greg. All right, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord, for that anointing to surprise. I just see God surprising you. Like some things you did maybe months ago, maybe years ago. I don't remember exactly. I don't really exactly what it is, but it's like things coming back to you and back on you. And back for you, like harvest. Like there's a harvest coming for you, and you know, things you prepared yourself. You did. You planted seeds. You have a kindness, of generosity. You planted seeds of all kinds of ways. And God bringing back a harvest to you from the seeds you sown. You know, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over with men, given to your bosom. They're finding the place where it's coming back to you. Amen. And God is enlarging your ability to give, because He's enlarged your ability to receive. And when harvest time comes, you know, a lot of harvest, like my dad used to, you know, run the grain elevators in the little town we lived in. And when they didn't have enough room to store it, they had to put it outside. Well, it didn't do as good outside as it did in the granary, right? So in other words, God's making room. God's showing you how to make room for the harvest. And, you know, the harvest is like for a future wife, preparing yourself, planting all the seeds, preparing yourself to be, you know, lovable and friendly and, you know, a good mate, a good boyfriend, a good, you know what I'm saying, and be really good at that. And so that when the harvest comes, you get the full package. God says, I'm going to bring you the full package. Wow, that's interesting, full package. I think that's pretty cool. Full package means wife, house, home, you know, car, job, children, the whole thing, the whole package. In Jesus' name. Amen. Cool. All right, 612-805. Who am I talking to? Reverend, please.
Hey, Randy. This is Joyce from Minnesota.
Hi, Joyce. Oh, Joyce, I'm so glad to hear from you. All right. Thank you, Jesus, for Joyce. Lord, I thank you for rejoicing, God. Rejoicing over Joyce, God, her joy and her rejoicing, God, that bringing revival to her and all the things that she tried to succumb to, or the things that tried to, you know, take possession of her and to distract her and divert her, God, that through all the testing, all the trial, all the things, God, that she finds herself, you know, with the joy of serving you, with the joy of the potential of moving into that place with you, that all things are possible. All things are possible. And I see God bringing you through a time of, you know, questioning and wondering, because God always brings me through times, Joyce, where I question, I wonder, you know, we're supposed to examine ourselves, right? There's nothing wrong with that. It's not doubt. It's like, okay, God, you know, what's really up over here? Is this really going on? What am I doing? Am I being blessed? Where are we going with all this? What's up with all this? And then wait for him to answer and let him show. So I see God answering your questions. I see you having a joy from the Spirit of God where you're rejoicing and you're realizing that your source is not people, it's God. I know you already knew that, but it's like God restoring. God's not, sometimes God has to remind me that he's my source, Joyce. It's not people. It's not what people do. It's not what people do for me or against me. It's what God's doing for me. And when God's for me, it doesn't matter what everybody else or everything is against us, because God is for us. And God's showing you that the for you realm is really, it's like I see God moving you into the for you realm. God is for you. Who could be against you? Who, if God is for you, who could be against you? And then you have to figure out who can, right? Okay, well, who can be against me then? God's for me. Okay, so you go through this process of, okay, God's for me. Okay, let's see who can be against me. Nobody, not even me. Yeah, some people think that God's grace and his security is just that other people can't take us away from him. Then we find out that he's so gracious, he doesn't even let us take us away from him, right? Yeah, he keeps us. He secures us. And God's showing you that security and that protection, that you're his, and he's never going to leave you nor forsake you. He is yours, and you are his, and you have covenant with God, and it's going to be done no matter what. God's going to do it. He's giving you the no matter what spirit. He's given that to you a long time ago. You've had that for a long time, the no matter what spirit. You know, I'm going to do what God says no matter what. And therefore, when God gets ready, he blesses you no matter what. No matter what realm. It's really awesome. All right. Joyce, thank you. All right. 903-808. Who am I talking to you from, please?
Hi, this is Jeannie in Texas.
All right. You got that Texas thing pretty good. This is Jeannie in Texas. Yeah. The Texas state. The state of Texas. All right, in the state of being, the state of, you know, like what the state of, you know, being, what state of being am I in? What state of being am I in? What's my condition? Where am I at? What am I doing? What's happening? What's going on? Where's the next move? What's the next thing that we do? What's the next, what things do we not do? And like God's showing you, Jeannie, things not to do. You know, like, okay, you did that, you know, that work, that was a thing I had you do. Now I'm moving you on. It's like I see things that you've been doing, God either adding to that and moving you on with that, or you just don't do that thing anymore, and you're entered to a new place. Like with me, you know, I used to fast, you know, a lot. And when I ever wanted to feel really spiritual, I'd fast, literally, you know, 10, 20 days. I did it all the time. It was just, it was kind of fun in a way, but pathetic. But that's, if I wanted to, you know, feel spiritual, I would just fast. I mean, you know, and God says, he starts showing me that, you know, that's not what I have for you. I want you to know that I'm with you all the time, whether you fast or not. And so he had me quit fasting. I hardly ever fast anymore because, you know, it's not that I'm not saying that's perfectly right. That's just what I do. It's what I don't do. So I don't fast anymore like I do, because it's addictive to me. I get, that's my way of feeling spiritual. So there's a lot of things that God has had me quit doing that were not bad things. They were just things that he says, I'm moving you on. I'm moving you past that. I'm moving to a new level of maturity. I see your feet. I see your feet like in, like, you know, the grape harvest where the women get into the vat and they stomp the grapes. I see you doing it. You're stomping the grapes. You're like, I don't even know what that means. Like making juice, I guess. Or something. I don't know what that is. The harvest is the grape, the harvest time. And then when the harvest comes in, then you put the grapes in the vat and you make them drinkable. You make them, you know, they take from, you go from eating them, something that you eat, to something that you drink. And God making something like new wine, like opening up a new wine realm for you, and you know, of joy, of you know, just I just see God moving you into new things. And it's like harvest time and harvest season in Jesus' name. And Lord, I speak to that harvest, God. She's going to harvest everything that you've put within her and everything she's done in obedience to you, God. That harvest time, it's harvest time in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Like you're treading the grapes. You're going to see, I think there's some scripture, I keep thinking about this as I'm seeing this, treading the grapes of God's wrath. You know, treading the grapes of God's wrath. In other words, God's wrath is not against people. You got to get this straight with people. They think that, oh, wrath is going to come on me if I'm there, if I'm in the wrong place at the wrong time. No, God's wrath is not for Christians. It's for the unbelievers. Wrath comes in to deal with the evil, comes to deal with the wicked, comes to deal with principality, mainly the devil. And then the people that don't want to let go of the devil, God deals with them too. Because they refuse to let go, God deals with them. And sometimes in a very wrathful way. And God's showing you the difference between, you know, wrath is not for God's children. Unless you're just totally, totally disobedient, then in the Old Testament. Even in the New Testament, you know, God judged Israel, and wrath came on them. I mean, and so people think wrath, they don't understand wrath. God's going to show you wrath and what wrath is for and how it really works and its purpose so that you can, because in harvest time, there's going to be wrath and be able to see that wrath and know what it's for, who's for, where it fits in, doesn't belong to God's obedient children. So open that up for our Lord in that time of harvest and treading the grapes. I'm not sure what all that means, but it's pretty cool. All right, awesome. All right, 864-439. Can I talk to you where you're from, please?
Hey, this is Walter from South Carolina.
Hey, Walter. Good to have you, my brother. Take a little drink of water there. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Jesus, for Walter. Thank you, Lord, for giving him a drink, God. Just like when I was taking a drink, I was thinking the whole time as I'm taking a drink, I'm going, you know, I got to minister to Walter here. You know, what am I taking a drink for? Even though I do it all during the show, it's like I'm thinking about this with you, right? And the Lord says he's going to show you how to take a drink, how to take a deep drink. You need a drink. Sometimes we just need a drink. Sometimes we need a drink from God himself. Sometimes we need a drink from God using a human being or a minister, a friend, pastor, a TV show, a video, whatever it is. And I see God giving you drink to drink, Walter, giving you something to drink, giving you drink because you need drink. Sometimes when I'm really working hard, like I've been doing that the last few weeks, I've been helping a loved one do some things at their house. They have a lot of things that need to be done. We're just doing a lot. We're doing a lot of stuff. So I'm working hard, right? And the harder I work, the more I sweat, the more I drink water, right? So God's showing you that he's going to show you how to drink, to come and drink of the water of God and be refreshed and cause your system. Because, you know, our natural system in our body starts freezing up, you know, when we don't have water in there. It doesn't work right. I've had a pastor friend of mine whose mother wasn't drinking any water. She'd drink coffee and Cokes and, you know, orange juice, that kind of thing, but she wasn't drinking any, just water. Goes to the doctor thinking she's dying, right? The doctor says, honey, you're not dying. It's like 75 years old. You're not dying. You just dehydrated. She literally thought she was dying. So it's the same thing, not only in the natural realm of not drinking enough water, but in the spiritual realm. So the more that we are wrestling and fighting and sweating in the spirit, working on things and going through battles, the more we need to drink water, right? And God's showing you how to drink from the fountains of youth, to drink from the fountains of God's love, to drink from the fountains of God's mercies, to drink from the fountains of God's nurturing, nourishing power. In Jesus' name, Walter. Amen. Yeah. Sometimes we have to drink more. We're working harder. This is Lisa again. Let's see what's going on over here.
Shalom. The phone. I missed it, and then it cut off. So.
Okay. Well, it's recorded.
Did you already pray over the number?
I'm sorry?
Did you already pray over the number from the first time?
Yes, I did, yes. Oh,
okay. I'm sorry.
Okay. That's okay. All right. Thank you. Yeah, just go back and it's on the thank you. Thank you for calling in. Yeah, you can go back on the go back on the audio on the archive and get it. Problem with that, let me know and I'll get it to you. All right, because I do have access to the archives. Pretty simple. I found out a simple way to get the archives. I can send it to you if you want, text it to you, whatever. Just let me know. I'll be glad to do that. All right. 251-229, who I talk to, read from, please. All right, 251, are you there? All right, that's Sarah. All right, Sarah, I'm going to pray over you. All right, I can't hear you, so maybe you slipped off for a minute. All right, that's okay. All right, Sarah, God bless you. Thank you, Lord, for Sarah. Father, we pray for her. We pray for her, her relationships, God. I thank you, Jesus, for showing her how to not only nurture her relationships and how to nurture them, but how to let them nurture her, how to let her drink from them, how to let her receive from her relationships. And Jesus saying, and bring the people in her life that she needs. You know, sometimes some people can feed us things that other people can't feed us. That's what we do here. We feed people things that probably some people can't feed them. They get some from us. They get some from others. There's always different people that feed you different things that you need in your life that God brings you. So God is bringing you people in your life to feed you, to nurture you, to show you that, God uses people to nurture us. And God can nurture us himself. But also he uses people, uses ministry, uses reading the word, uses listening to, you know, music or whatever to nurture you and to give you what you need. God is trying to show you that, you know, just like in the natural realm, we tell people, eat your veggies. You know, we tell our children, eat your vegetables. You know, why don't we do that? Because we know if they don't, they're not going to be healthy, right? They're not going to be they're not going to function at the fullest potential. And then drink their water, eat their meat, whatever they do, you know, make sure they eat what they need to eat because it helps them function to the fullest. And so I see God showing you how to eat from the table of God, to function in the spirit to the fullest. The more you eat what you need, what God has for you to satisfy you, to satisfy your hunger, right? That satisfaction is going to bring you to a place of functioning to a higher level, with functioning with all eight cylinders, as they say, instead of five cylinders or seven or four, functioning from, working from all eight cylinders. And so God's showing you how to do that, because I think most people they're going at half mass, man. They're going about half, and it's because, I know with me personally, if I'm not having the regimen of what I have every day that I know what I need, you know, like avocado, a little bit of beef, protein, I have oatmeal, I have nuts, there's certain things that I have, right? Apple, part of an apple. If I don't have those things every day, when I come on the show, I'm not thinking clear. You know, I've seen things, but I can't say them like I need to. I can't speak clearly with what I'm seeing. And so it's really, really important that God show you how to function to the fullest as a servant of God. It takes eating the right foods from God. All right? So nurture yourself. Eat yourself those Holy Ghost vitamins. Amen. Those Holy Ghost that food, and you will be blessed. Right? And you'll flow and work in the Spirit, moving the Spirit to the fullest potential God has for you to flow in. And most Christians don't go at 100%. They go at, 30, 60. So, and we can't figure out why. It's because we're not eating enough of a certain food spiritually or whatever. Yeah, all right. Really cool. Five-course meals are really nice. All right, nobody else has their hand up? I guess I'm going to, if you don't have your hand up, if you haven't texted me, and, you know, I'm going to move on. Okay. All right. Very cool. All right, that's my last caller with their hand up. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 people that don't have their hand up. And I guess you don't want to be in the show right now. That's okay. I understand. Okay, got one. 469-553. Who am I talking to? Where are you from, please?
Hi, Prophet Randy. This is Barbara from Texas.
Oh, hey, Barbara. All right, good to have you tonight, Barbara. All right, thanks for calling in. Thank you, Jesus, for Barbara, Father. I thank you, Lord, for her anointing, God, to take down, things that people believe that all it does is hold them into a religious thing, and they're not really getting love. They're not really getting compassion. All they're getting is law. They're under the law. They don't even realize they're under the law. They don't understand that when Christ came in, the way we fulfill the law is by walking with love, walking in Jesus. Love fulfills the law. Jesus fulfills the law. And many people are trying to work and make it happen and be nice and be kind, and they realize that they just love Jesus, right? God's showing you how to connect them to loving Jesus. Like when Peter denied the Lord, what does the Lord want from him? He says, hey, I just want to know one thing, Peter, do you love me? There's this whole thing about love. And loving God, loving Jesus. And when you love him and you love God and you're walking in love with him, you don't want to do unlovely things. You don't want to walk in the flesh. You don't even desire to walk in the flesh. You have it. You don't even want to go there. You want to obey. You want to live right. And that want to is what makes you do it. Not to have to. No, I got to. But I want to. And God moving you into the want to realm. What sort of things you desire when you pray? Believe for those things when you receive. I'll give you the desires of your heart. And God really moving you to a whole other level in that area where you help people, set people free from the bondage of the law, the bondage of we got to do this because this is God's will. Instead of like, man, I just love Jesus and I want to serve him and I want to do this. I want to give. I want to help. I want to. And so it sets people off into, instead of I have to, I have to, it's the I want to. Amen. And it's a totally different place to be. I still know I go back and forth with that sometimes, but I've come a lot further along than I ever dreamed I would in, the want-tos of God. I live in the want-to realm. I really do. And I always stay there, but I live there for the most part. And so it's really cool. It's a really cool place to be. Yes. Okay. All right. Yes, we pray for Devante and okay, praying for Devante tonight. And 917, you were on the air. Okay, you should pray for Devante tonight in Jesus' name. Lord, pray for Devante tonight, Father. We thank you for Devante, God, that try to serve God out of, we should. I was just telling Barbara, that thing of we better, but let Devante walk in that place, God, where his relationship with you, Jesus, is personal. It's very personal, very real, very convicting, very loving, very much, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Cleansing him, breathing the fresh air of life into his lungs where he can get a fresh breath of fresh air. Sometimes we need to come up from a big battle of, being oppressed by the enemy, being, the enemy trying to take us over, trying to take us down to, sometimes God lets us fail. Sometimes God will let us fail so that, just like Peter, God let Peter fail. Sink. He let him sink. He was right there. He let him sink. fly, because it was teaching him how to, you know, training him how to keep your eyes on God, how to keep your eyes on Jesus. And yet he didn't let him, you know, go down, but he did let him fail. He did let him sink a little bit. And so I thank you, Lord, for Devontae, God, you show him how to walk in that place of born-again love in Jesus' name. All right, and pay for Andre, yes. Yes, thank you, Lord, for Andre. I'll be thinking that Andre is, that he does not succumb to the burdens of men, the things of men, the way men think, reasoning out things according to the way, you know, political people think or other, you know, religions think, but thinking spontaneously, letting him move into that area spontaneously, listening to God in his desires, listening to God in his spirit, man, listening to God where God is speaking to him, and he's knowing God because he's experiencing God. It's not just about, the Bible says, my sheep know my voice, and another they don't follow. That he will not follow. He will not find himself needing to follow anybody else but you, Lord. Follow those who follow the Lord, yeah. Follow anybody, just not follow the Lord, because the bondage that it brings, the fears. And I thank you, God, that you've called Andre, God, to serve you and to walk with you. And in Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, for opening his eyes, letting him see that you are with him, that yea, though he walks through the valley, the shadow of death, those times of the shadows of things, the flickering of darkness, the flickering of shadow realm, that he will fear no evil, Father, for you are with Andre, in Jesus' name. Ah, let me coro, colibre, ashande, parangero, pulso, leki, shepleki, patoka, emere, no rojo, fande. In Jesus' name, bless Andre, God. Keep his heart, God. Keep his heart with you, Jesus. In Jesus' name. Amen. Protect him, wash him, love him. Amen. All right, 608-960. Can I talk to you from, please?
Hey, Shannon in Wisconsin.
Hey, Shannon. All right. Thank you, Shannon, for being with us tonight. Hallelujah. Lord, I minister the Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It's not just, you know, the Holy Spirit just there. He has a ministry. He has things that he's there to perform, things that he's there to do. There's a ministry of the Holy Spirit. There's things that the ways of God, the ministry of the Holy Spirit is he comes to show you whatever you need to get a breakthrough. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is he comes to show you how to get free of a thing or get blessed by a thing or whatever it is. That's his ministry. And his whole ministry, Shannon, is to bless you. His whole ministry is to draw you in, to teach you, to show you things and open you up to freedom and liberty, where you walk free and liberated. His whole thing is to bring you freedom and joy and teach you. That is his ministry. And God's going to show you, you're going to be connecting to the ministry of the Holy Spirit and what he's there for you, why he's there, how he can talk to you and love you and fellowship with you and show you and lift you up and, you know, all that. It's his ministry. That's what his ministry is, and he's really good at it. And he's going to show you how to receive from that ministry in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Receive the ministry of the Holy Spirit. God, he will know all the different ways of God or the ways that the Holy Spirit ministers to him and ministers to people through him. Amen. In Jesus' name. And bless him, God, with favor, with that favor, Father. Bless him with that favor for that relationship in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. All right. 903-619. Who am I talking to you from, please?
Hello?
Yes, who I talked to you where you from? What state?
This is Megan from Texas.
Who from Texas? Oh, Megan. Okay, Megan. Thank you. I'm having a hard time hearing you. All right, Megan. Thank you so much. All right, thank you, Lord, for Megan tonight. We thank you, Jesus, Father, for the heart you've given Megan to help the suffering, because she knows what suffering is. She knows that sometimes people suffer unnecessarily. Sometimes people suffer because they're ignorant of something. They don't know what's going on. So you're using her to help people understand that you suffer. The best way to suffer is suffer for God, man. I mean, suffering for God is a good way to suffer because you get blessed. Suffering for God means that you do what he says, no matter what anybody says, you know, what the Word of God says, what the Holy Spirit says. And as you learn to do that, my sister, you're going to find that, you know, I know you already know how to do that, but God's really going to open you up to being able to speak his word and to share his word and to talk his word and to, you know, be able to communicate the Word of God. Not opening you up to communication, to be able to communicate. There's all the different ways that the Holy Spirit communicates through you. It's showing you how to let that communication increase and multiply. How that the way you, that it increases and multiplies for me, and I do this 4 nights a week, 2, 3, 4 hours a night, is and word after word, information after revelation, is because I give it all away. I don't obligate people. I'm trying to sell it. I'm giving it away. When you give it away, believe me, God starts multiplying and increasing it and gives you more than enough where you never run out of information, never run out of help, you never run out of anything because God is, you know, you're giving your life. God so loved the world that he gave, giving. Not just about giving money. It's about giving your life away. Amen? And so in that process, God blessing you, healing you, touching you, touching your body, touching your chest area. God, touching that area right now in the name of Jesus. Burdens off of her, Jesus. Take the burdens, the unnecessary burdens off of her, and let the burden of the Holy Ghost be upon her in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let the burden of the word of the Lord be upon my sister, Father. And teach her how, training her, showing her how to, you know, be trained by the Holy Spirit and to train others how to yield to God. Amen? How to yield to God. All right. Okay, so you had the migraine thing going on, Shannon. I'm so sorry to hear that, brother. Lord, with Shannon, God, I thank you, Lord, that, you know, I know I talked about this before, but drinking your water, even if it's spiritual warfare, drinking your water helps wash things out because attacks are usually even, they try to attack your physical body. And when your physical body has water functioning through it, flowing through it, it's hard for things to stick, believe it or not, even in spiritual warfare. So I thank you, Jesus, for Shannon, God. I thank you, Lord, for your peace. God, I thank you for your love. I thank you for breaking the pain around his brain. In Jesus' name, and bless him with peace around his brain. May his brain be at peace. May his brain be at rest. May you bless his brain. May his brain be anointed. May his head and his mind and his skull all be anointed by the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, pour it out on him, God. Pour out your rivers of love. Pour out your rivers of life, Jesus, on my brother tonight. In the name of Jesus, let it be done, God. Let it be done. In Jesus' name, peace like a river. Overflowing you. Just drop my water. So peace in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Yeah, if I'm going through a spiritual battle, I shared a word earlier tonight with someone that, you know, that they need to drink, you know, spiritual water and physical water. Because even when you're going through a lot of heavy spiritual battles and warfare, believe me, your body's going through it. I mean, your body is going through it. And water helps to wash things out, you know, even the attack, believe it or not. The fruit of the attack, it really does. It's truly amazing. Jesus said, come unto me and drink, all you who are thirsty. And I think that it's a much bigger word, an answer to things than we realize. I really did. Okay. Thank you, Jesus, for your people tonight, God. I thank you for... Okay, I hadn't... spot of spiritual water. Yeah. Yeah, we need both. Amen. The woman came to the well and drinking water, and Jesus said, if you only knew the water that I have for you. Yeah, because we're not getting our spiritual water. You know, we dry up, and our spiritual being can't function and wash out things. It's really amazing. The washing of the water of the Word. We drink it in, it washes us. Your body lives by water. You can do without food for a long time. You can't do without water. And it's the same thing spiritually. And so, come unto me, all ye who are thirsty, and I'll give you drink, Jesus said. Hallelujah. Wow. All right, y'all, we are moving forward, man. This is awesome. God is good. Thanks for being with us tonight. That's my last caller with their hand up. So if you don't get your hand up pretty quick, or text me and let me know that you're there. I'm going to move on. I'm calling it night tonight. Very, very good to be with you. Thank you for praying for me. I'm still working out of town. Kind of different for me. I'm just, a little surprised by all this. So, but I'm having fun. I'm doing stuff I haven't done in a long time. Actually, it's very fulfilling, and I forgot how fulfilling this stuff can be. So it's not a burden. I'm not overwhelmed. I get a little physically tired. We breathe dust sometimes, that kind of thing. But we're really working, and it's really looking really good. So we're so just grateful and thankful. All right. So thank you guys for being with us tonight. Thanks for your prayers. Thanks for your friendship. And thanks for everything you do for PGN. We are growing, and believe me, we just have had a breakthrough just recently. All the stuff with the Daystar Network and all that, believe it or not, it was a pretty big warfare moment. I hadn't been attacked like this in a long time, and I didn't know exactly what was going on, but now I see it makes sense. All right, 225. Somebody else raise your hand. 225-454. Who am I talking to? Where are you from, please?
Hi, this is from Louisiana.
Oh, hi, Karen.
Hello.
Hi, Karen. Nice to have you. Yes, let's pray for you. Thank you, Karen, for being over this night. Thank you, Jesus, for your care and your love, God. I thank you, Lord, for just washing over her your love, washing over Karen tonight, and your anointed oil just saturating her, God, giving her such a satisfaction and peace and joy, God. You are working, you're doing things. And just because other people resist God, Karen, doesn't mean that you do. Just because other people are resisting God doesn't mean that you're resisting God. But sometimes you feel that resistance. Sometimes you feel that. And God wants you to know you're just feeling it. You're not resisting. You're feeling the resistance of other people. And God is wanting you to enter into, intercede for them and pray for them, as you do already, but intercede for them and pray for them that they will, because the enemy does not want them to receive from God, as you know. The enemy does not want them. The enemy hates God. The enemy hates people. He hates everything. You know, he's a liar. He's a hater. He's worthless. And so God is connecting you with that ability to pray and believe God, to fill them with love, to give them joy, to give them something to look forward to, give them a future. And the devil is robbing from that. Jesus said, I came to give you life and give it to you abundantly. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's it. He doesn't do anything else but steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says to you, Karen, I've come to bring life through you. I come to bring blessing through you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Bless her. Let her be a comfort to those that need comfort, God, in Jesus' name, and bless her with that peace and that anointing of the Holy Ghost, a fresh outpouring of the Holy Ghost, Father, that her eyes will be able to see, her mind will be able to comprehend the will of the Father, even for other people at times. Amen. And pray the will of the God, of the will of God over people's life, so that spirit of rebellion will be broken off them. And they can start receiving from God for themselves and grow and learn and be satisfied that they are connected to God. Amen, in Jesus' name. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. All right, Karen, nice talking to you tonight. Good to have you tonight. We love it. Thank you, Jesus. All right. All right. Nobody else puts their hands up. I'm going to call it a night. It's still a little bit early. It's 11, about 11:20. And, yeah, actually I've been working all day. I don't normally work all day. I work a lot right now. I kind of like it. You know, it's kind of fun in a way. I wouldn't want to do it all the time, thank God. And when this is over, I'm taking a big break. But I'm having fun. I'm having fun doing it. It's satisfying to do it. It's amazing how you get satisfied by doing physical work and cleaning stuff and, you know, helping people organize things. It's just really a blast. Yeah, sometimes people just need us for a little bit. And, yeah, it's really awesome. Okay, y'all. If you don't get your hand up, I'm going to move on. Call that number, 319-527-6027. All right, get in there. I'm going to call it a night tonight. We will get to you tomorrow night. We'll be on tomorrow night also. Yeah, we'll be on tomorrow night. Same time, same station. So pray for us as we move forward. God is doing big things. Big things. It's really exciting. Okay, pray for Rod and his wife and two daughters. All right, who is this? Oh, Barbara. Oh, this is Barbara. Okay, Barbara. Yeah, pray for Rod and his wife and two daughters. Okay. Yes, Lord, we pray for Rod tonight, God. We thank you, Lord, that that Rod comes under the unction of the Holy Spirit, that Rod comes under the unction of the Holy Spirit to be able to know that you called him to be a provider, not just a provider of money and of that kind of thing, but a provider of, you know, order, a provider of establishment, a provider of, you know, sometimes people, our children don't know what to do. Sometimes people don't know what to do, and they need a father to, hang on a second. Thank you, Jesus, for Rod. We thank you, Lord, that a spirit of provision, Father, not just provide finances and money, but security and peace, and knowing that, you know, there's an order that God puts in, and that order is important, and other people need to learn to, you know, to develop, to let that order develop so that order is in the household, much not disorder and disarrangement. That's the enemy's favorite thing, is to have disorder going on where he comes in and tries to mess with things. Lord, I thank you for helping my brother set things in order by the Spirit, by love, by grace, by mercy, in Jesus' name, for the provision of God in every aspect, financially, mostly mentally, spiritually, can be received. God, they were received with goodness, that the spirit of rebellion is broken off. It cannot function in that family, God. The spirit of obedience through Christ Jesus be developed in Rod's life, God, and his wife and children. In Jesus' name, God, we plead the blood of Christ over them, Father. We thank you, Lord, for that preventive medicine. In Jesus' name. Yes, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, that you work in my brother humility, God. You work in him that we humble ourselves before God, and then he exalts us in due season, the Bible says. Right? We humble ourselves before God, and he exalts us in due season. So there's a humbling time, and there is when God exalts us. When God exalts us, he exalts himself, God humbles. Right? But who humbles himself, right, as you know, God exalts. God does it. It's a really beautiful thing, really powerful thing. Because when God exalts you, nobody else can put you down. Nobody else can take you down. They can try, but they can't. They'll never be successful. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. All right. really cool. God is doing some great stuff, y'all. God is going to bring justice his way, not man's way. And men will lie to us. God will never lie to us. Men will lead us astray if they can. Maybe they don't do it on purpose. They think they're really right, but they're deceived. They're going to deceive you, you know, by thinking they're doing the right thing. And so may God open that up for you and show you what you need to know in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, y'all. I guess I'm going to call it a night tonight. I think that's my last caller. Really, really cool. Good to be with you. Pray for me as I work hard and get a lot done. And, yeah, so, yep, God's will being done. And it's very satisfying, I guarantee you. Love it. All right. Okay, let's see here. You're welcome. You're welcome. We love to pray. We love to pray and release the anointing and prayer and words. Words are powerful. Words are powerful. Sometimes we need to meditate on the words God gives us. Sometimes we listen to them like one time and, you know, we need to learn how to meditate on them. And it changes everything. All right. I guess we're going to call it a night tonight, y'all. Getting off a little bit early tonight. I'm going to get a good night's sleep. Be at it tomorrow night. Same time, same station, same place. Be praying for PGN. We're moving forward. God is good. God is really good. Okay. All right. Good night, everybody. God bless you. We love you.